God has smiled on me. He has set me free. Yes, God has smiled on me. He's been good to me. He is the source of all my joy. He fills me with His love. Everything that I should need, He sends it down from above. God has smiled on me. He has set me free. Yes, God has smiled on me. He's been good to me. A light unto my path is He. Without Him I'm lost. I don't know what He is to you, but to me He's my all. God has smiled on me. He has set me free. Yes, God has smiled on me. He's been good to me. Sing it again. Yes, God has smiled on me. He has set me free. Yes, God has smiled on me. He's been good to me. Giver of life, breathe on my soul today. Let your spoken word cast out all sin and revive this piece of clay. Restore to me the joys that you have given. Place my mind on things established in heaven. Let me worship you in spirit and in truth. In spirit and in truth. Giver of life, breathe on my soul today. Let your spoken word cast out all sin and revive this peace of flame. Restore to me the joys that you have given. Place my mind on things you've established in heaven. Let me worship you in spirit and in truth. In spirit and in truth. Giver of life, breathe on my soul today. Let your spoken word cast out all sin and revive this peace of flame. Restore to me the joys that you have given. Place my mind on things that you've established. worship you in spirit and in truth. In spirit and in truth.
Sing it again.
Oh, giver of life, breathe on my soul today. Let your spoken word cast out all sin and revive this feast of flame. Restore to me the joys that you have given. Place my mind on things that you've established in heaven. Let me worship you in spirit and in truth. In spirit and in truth. Mind on things that you establish in heaven. Let me worship you in spirit and in truth. In spirit and in truth.
One more time.
Oh, giver of life, breathe on my soul today. Let your spoken word cast out all sin. This piece of flame. Restore to me the joys that you have given. Place my mind on things that you've established in heaven. Let me worship you in spirit and in truth. In spirit and in truth.
Yeah, Brother John.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. It's so good to be here today. And to be healthy.
Amen.
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 Amen. I was sick this week, but now I'm healed.
Yes.
And I thank God for that. I feel like I just want to worship Him with all that's in
Amen.
Me.
Amen.
And you know, I can worship Him in spirit and truth.
Yes.
You know, and that revelation has gotten so much stronger. And to see that the bride of all the ages is right here.
Amen.
Right here. It's all done. You know, my wife and I, we have just talked and talked and talked about
yes.
this. And just reading the scripture and seeing it and seeing how real it is.
Amen.
And seeing the truth that's here in this day.
Yes.
But it's just a veil and we're just pressing against it.
Come on.
And we're so close.
Amen.
Nothing,
Amen.
Nothing left.
Amen.
You know, scruples, thoughts, ideas. But when they fall away,
right,
and
right.
I was sick one Absolutely. Sunday, and the church moved forward.
Amen.
And I said, oh, Lord, I wasn't here for that. But I'm still part of that bride, and He still showed it to me. And I just thank Him for that. And I want to praise Him with all that's in me. I want to sing. I just praise God that I can sing again. I thank Him. I know that sounds like a silly thing, but I want to give Him my all. I want to be sincere for this thing. And I can't, another thing I can't get out of my mind is faith. It's yeah. faith.
Yes.
It's faith. Faith drives it all. If you can see it, why would you need faith?
Right, 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 right.
It's faith.
Amen.
Revelation. It's faith.
Amen.
It's all faith.
Amen.
I thank God that He saw fit to take me with Him. And you know what? I'm a pretty spectacular, pretty important part of this.
That's right.
And I thank Him for that.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Go ahead.
Just want to be a vessel, give my all also, and faith, yes. You got to know the relationship. I must know for myself. It's not me. I'm just so glad He chose me.
You know, I was thinking about that veil myself a little bit.
You guys can
a
be
lot,
seated.
Actually. You know, the Word of God is what brings it to pass. You know, it's got to be preached. Every revelation I've ever got has come by preaching. I've never got one revelation at home. Every bit's come by preaching. That's why I'm here all the time. Oh, I don't want to miss a word. Don't want to miss a thing. You know, but that veil, it's so thin. You can see right through it. By revelation, we know what's on the other side. It's not like it's a dark veil we don't know. Oh, we know where we're going. And what a real rest and a peace that brings us. Because we can stand right here and we can be content and just waiting for Him to speak that last word.
Amen.
You know, and I really appreciate that. I appreciate the rest. Because every revelation brings more and more and more of a rest. When 40-some years ago, I didn't have much of a rest. I had to be shook a little bit. But now I've been shook. I've been shook. You know, and I'm thankful for sitting under so much perfect word. You know, he didn't have to do that. I could be over here in a, you know, just out in the world somewhere and just, you know, so to speak, just barely in the message, barely recognizing it, you know. But to see him as he is, see him face to face, that means everything to me. Amen. All we got to do is just breathe on that veil. The Spirit and the Bride, just breathe on that veil. That thing will rent. You ever see a cobweb? You know, just every little breath moves it, you know. And that veil just sitting there, just moving, just waiting for that final. And break it. Amen.
Amen.
Hello again, everybody. I just want to get up here today and praise Jesus, man.
Amen.
And express my thanks to be a part of this body. And how wonderful it is when you can come to the realization that everything is done through Jesus Christ.
Oh, yes.
And
yes,
we just got the news back about our son. 100% heart function. Amen. And it's all thanks
Amen.
To the bride here and Jesus Christ. The prayer cloth that we had was kept the entire time. And I fall, my flesh falls short daily. Several times a day, even. But it's amazing to just have that faith and be a part of this body here. And when I keep my eyes and my ears open, I can really see what Jesus does for me and my family and the body here.
Amen.
So,
amen.
Sing page 237 in the choruses. When I think about the Lord, key of D.
When I think about the Lord, how he saved me, how he raised me, how he filled me with the Holy Ghost, how he's healed me to the uttermost. When I think about the Lord, how he's picked me up and he's turned me around, how he's placed my feet on solid ground, it makes me wanna shout. Think about the Lord, how he saved me, how he's raised me, how he's filled me with the Holy Ghost, how he's healed me to the uttermost. When I think about the Lord, on solid ground. It makes me wanna shout, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. It makes me wanna shout, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of all the glory and all the honor and all the praise.
When I think about the Lord,
when I think about the Lord, how he saved me, how he raised me, how he filled me with the Holy Ghost, how he's healed me to the uttermost. When I think about solid ground, it makes me wanna shout, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. It makes me wanna shout, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. It makes me
I just want to give God praise, too, for being able to be here this day. He has done so much to me. I go back and think about my childhood, you know, and the way he raised me, too, at that time, you know, in the Church of God. But he was just placing my feet, getting ready for this day,
putting
me in this age, you know, and this message. And I just praise him for it. I don't get to come Wednesday because I have the second eye surgery. But that's why I wanted to get up today and just thank him for all that he's done for me, all he's blessed me with, and most of all for this word.
Man, it's good to be here this morning. I feel like Sister Sue when she said that, you know, I'm just praise God because she's not going to be here next Wednesday. But I was sitting there fighting a different battle. I was like, you know, with the brothers going to be out of town, I thought, you know, I'm going to have enough time to talk. But, you know, no service is promised, you know.
That's true.
You know, we're all living witnesses of that you don't know if you're going to make it back Wednesday. You don't know if you're going to be back here on Sunday. So this is your last service. You know, I was sitting there, I thought, if this was your last service, how would you act?
Come on.
You know, if you really knew that this was it, if you knew this was the last one that they were going to take of you, the last picture they were going to get of you, you know, this is the last take, you know, and I thought, I don't want to take this place for granted. You know, I appreciate the testimonies. I really appreciate the brothers getting up on Wednesday night. It was good to hear them. I love that they take it seriously. You know, I want you to be nervous.
That's right.
This is a serious hour.
Amen.
You're coming to talk to serious believers, you know.
I want the surgeon to be nervous when they're about to perform on me. I don't want them to Amen. Flippantly just go through it like haphazardly. Just this is another day. No, it's not another work day. This is the last day you got to see God face to face. When we come in through these doors, this is your last opportunity to get all that you need. You know, you talk about the church moving one step up. That would have been the last step. You know, there's going to be one more time where it's just the last step. The last. And, you know, we got this opportunity on this side to bless and see all these people in this mind. I want to take advantage of that. You know, God gave us free moral agency to do what we need to do. I want to take advantage of that. I want to go out and be a light. I want to let my light shine. And I like how even that brother said it's like, does your light shine at Kroger's? Does it shine at work? Because when you have a light, it's supposed to shine everywhere. Matter of fact, it's the best. The light is the best, the darker it is.
Right.
You know, when you're going digging through something, I've done something like some auto work or something, and you see, you know, you can't see behind something. And that's when you really need a light. You're like, right. I really need to be able to see. I'm about to put my hand somewhere where I don't know where it is.
Right.
And that's how it is when I go out in the world. You just, I don't know what's out there. I don't know what I got to deal with, but that's when I really need the light. And here I'm surrounded by light. There's no shadows. There's no anything at all. But when I go out in that world, I got to let this light so shine. And I get my marching orders from here, and I just appreciate this place. I never want to take it for granted, you know, the leadership that we get here, the friendships that we get here. And it's good to see you, Brother Tommy. I'm glad that God's moving. You know, that's a good thing. That's all that's doing is increasing that brother's faith.
Sure.
It's just increasing his faith. And we're all, like Brother Don said, we're all on different levels, but we're on the same boat.
Right.
You know, we're all on different levels. You know, it's no good to believe Noah when it starts raining. It do you no good to believe Noah when it started. When it started raining, the door was already closed.
That's right.
It had been closed for days when it started to rain. Way too late. Like, you know, sometimes people think, oh, when the rapture starts happening, that's when I'll get right and go to church. You know, it was in a rehab thing, and this lady was like, you know, when I finally get out of here, I'm going to start going to church. You done wasted too much time.
Yeah.
She's 80-some years old. You don't worry about it now. You know what I mean? Like, you don't have nothing to give God. You can barely walk. You can barely talk. You can
come
do all these things.
Come on.
Let's praise God while you got a chance. Sing while you can sing. Clap while you can clap. Don't wait until some far-off day that may never happen. That's like Brother Childers would say. You know, people would say, oh, well, when I get this and get that, I'll have people over to my house. It'll never happen. It'll never happen. That selfish fear that you had on you will keep you the whole time, even when you start getting things. I thought, I don't want to be selfish with God. I want to give him my all. If I have a voice, give him my voice. If I have my feet, I want to give him my feet. And just give it all to him, because that's all. You're only going to get what you put in it. You know, you see people and you see the different levels. Why? Because what they gave to it.
Sure.
What they gave to it. You know, Brother Don, you give him to this thing. That's why God's giving to you. Matter of fact, I even love what Brother Don said, and I'm going to sit down. He said, you know, sometimes he'll get up at night and say, Lord, start dealing with me.
Yes.
I did that the other night. I got up at like 1 in the morning, and I was thinking, well, I'm not sleepy anymore because of the time change and all this kind of stuff.
Right.
And I was like, well, I'm not sleepy. I've got plenty of sleep. And I was just sitting there, and I was about to start pouting. Like, man, I just want to go back to sleep.
Yeah.
And I thought, whoa, 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 whoa. Yeah. This is a great opportunity.
Opportunity.
Lord, won't you start dealing with me? Share with me what you're thinking about. Won't you just start revealing yourself to me? And I'm not sitting there thinking, oh, I'm going to get some great, mighty revelation. But won't you just stir my mind a little bit?
Remind
me what the pastor's been preaching. Remind me what the ministry's been talking about. Get my mind together so that way I can go forward in this next day and just do what you want. And then that's a different, that changed the whole atmosphere.
Amen.
That changed the whole night. It changed the bed. Everything was more comfortable. Everything was more, it's just because when you start thinking about the word of God, it does level everything off.
Yes, it does.
It does for a believer anyway. You know, there's people that don't believe, and I you can see them, and it just, the word of God just kind of grates on them like somebody scratching on a chalkboard. You'll see everything in their body mess up. They'll get more nervous. They'll get more anxious. They don't want to hear it. But me, I just get more open. I get more receiving. I get more sweet. I get more happy. Why? Because there's something on the inside of me. It's nothing that I got to produce, but I just praise God for this place. I just thank God for this, and I appreciate you, Brother Caleb, leading the song services.
Yes.
I'm just happy to be here.
Amen.
I'm just happy to be here. God bless you.
Amen.
Okay, I would like to come up here and praise the Lord, but I'm also going to ask if a few sisters will help me. I'm going to sing, Lord, I Need You Now.
I don't, I'm not a good singer, but I'm going to sing.
I had too much coffee today, too. It's like,
Lord, I need you now more than I ever have before. Lord,
while I'm in this microphone, I just want to praise God too. You know, when you kind of come here, you know, like even just one Sunday and Wednesday, I just feel like it's been like a year that, you know, that I miss this place, you know, but sometimes, you know, like I miss this Sunday is because my cleaning partner, she cannot clean the B&B because she has a COVID. So my boss, you know, of course, she has a COVID and she doesn't want her there. So then my choice is me. But she knows that I'm going church on Sunday. But she said, Joy, I already booked the B&B and I cannot you know, like cancel it. I said, well, okay, I'm just gonna go ahead and clean for you. That's why I miss Sunday. And then Wednesday again, I have another work because she's still not feeling well. And so then I'm thinking like, oh my goodness, I just feel like I need this word. I feel like I'm so empty. You know, like, oh my goodness. And I'm thinking, then you go out there and then you struggle the world. Like, oh my goodness. And then when I got there, I said, oh, okay, Lord, I understand why you send me here. And then so, you know, this guy, I said, well, I am so sorry that I have to rush you, you know, because I have another work that's waiting for me on the other side. And so I got there for like 10:55, and then at the checkout won't check out like 11. So I got there like 5 minutes. So I'm thinking, oh my goodness, it looks like the guy is still there. So when I opened the door, you know, like he's still there. I said, well, I'm so sorry. I feel like I'm rushing. And he says, oh no, I have to leave anyway. And I said, where are you from? And he says, by the way, I'm from Cleveland. I said, Cleveland? I said, oh wow, that's a really long way from here. I said, I would like to see Cleveland, you know. And then so he said, yeah. I said, oh, so you just visited here? Oh, yeah, I just visited here for like, you know, like seeing this historical area. I said, oh my goodness. Oh, okay. I said, well, you know, so he's gathering all his stuff, everything like that. I said, I just feel like I'm rushing you, sir. And he said, oh, no, not at all. And then when I opened the refrigerator, it's like, oh, my God, there is like plenty of food over there. And I'm thinking like, I have to remove this food because the guests were going to check in here, you know, so I have to remove that thing. And so I got all the food, and then the guy is just extremely nice spirit from Cleveland. So I said, oh wow, Lord, now I understand that you sent me here. I don't even want to go. I'm so tired, but yeah, because I have to meet this guy. And I said, well, sir, what's your name? And he said, my name is Raul. Nice to meet you too, Mom. I said, oh my gosh. So I said, my name is Joy. So I said, oh wow, very nice guy. And then that last week too, I went somewhere because I like taking these pictures, you know, outside like these fall trees and everything like that. When I parked the car behind that garage, I left my key inside the car. And so I'm thinking like, oh no, it never happened to me. So I'm thinking, what do I do? Again, the inside of me says, calm down, do not panic. When I turn around, there is this guy, you know, mowing the grass. I said, oh, there's a guy. I said, sir, excuse me. I said, I have a problem here, sir. You know, what's the matter? Like, I said, my key is inside the car, I forgot it. And so he says, okay, I can help you with that. I said, again, Lord, I understand that while I'm here, stuck right here, because there's a guy that, you know, that I can meet this guy. So I'm thinking like, oh, okay. And then so he tried to do that thing. He tried to do, I'm watching him. But again, I don't feel pressure knowing that I want him to do his job to, you know, to meet me. So I'm thinking like, Lord, I said, okay, I understand that, because sometimes I feel pressure. I said, oh my God, I have to go because the time goes so fast. But that time, no, God said, calm down. So I just said, okay. You know, so he got that thing open, and then I said, sir, can I pay you for helping me out? And he said, no, but do me a favor. I said, yes, sir, what is it? And he said, if you can help someone, please do. I said, yes, sir, I will do that. I said, okay, sir, here's the last thing before I go. I said, because you helped me and you won't let me pay, I said, one day you will get your reward. And he said, amen. I believe that. Amen. So praise God, amen, that he's still amen. Using me out there. Thank God.
Amen.
You can go ahead, and then Sister Chrissy, you'll be the last one.
Okay, I just wanted to get up here and thank God real quick, because, you know, I've been thinking about the word a lot, and everything that's been, you know, like Brother Jay was saying, that step forward, and, you know, it really is just, like, kind of mind-blowing, like, how close we are. And I was also thinking, because Brother Jay, I was up at 1 a.m. too, but for a different reason. My son decided that he's going to get sick, and he's not feeling well. And he's up all night just crying, and, you know, I didn't get any sleep. He didn't get any sleep. He was crying all the way up till we got to church. And, you know, AJ's at work, and he's like, are you still going to be able to take him to church? You know, you're not going to really be able to pay attention. You're going to be back. And I was like, that's thinking to myself, like, this is the best place I can take him, you know. And I know that this is, you know, where we come to get our healing. And my dad laid a hand on my son. And Henry is, some of you know, he's just like the sweetest, smiliest baby. And he was not smiling at all. He was not feeling it. And my dad just said, Lord, touch this baby. And I, you know, I believe it. And my son, I believe that he's healed. He's smiling. He's in a better mood. And I don't ever want to take God for granted. Because I was thinking, you know, this morning at 1 a.m. when I'd worked yesterday, I was tired. And I just was thinking, and I was talking to God, and I was like, you know, Lord, thank you for, you know, let me have this child that I can, you know, wake up in the middle of the night and take care of, because right. I've been reading, you know, so much of the news, and it's just like you can see that it's getting so dark out there. Yes. All the horrible things that are happening, and all the horrible things, you know, people do to their own kids, and I'm just so grateful that God protects me from that. He protects my family from that, and it's just such a beautiful thing to have a rest. To have this word that when you go out in the world, and you know, I work in the hospital, I see people die every day, and I see families that they're so lost. You know, they have this family member that, you know, there's nothing we can do to keep them alive, but they can't let go because they don't know what's going to happen to them. They don't have that rest. They don't have that assurance, and they're just so lost, and they cling to what they can, and I'm just, you know, I do what I can for them, and I've met some wonderful people. Like Sister Joy was talking about, I took care of this lady who, she was so sweet. She said, honey, I love you so much, I'm going to take you to heaven. I was like, I'll see you there, girl. But, you know, I'm just so full, and I just wanted to thank God for everything he's done for me.
My heart to play. A lot of times I come here on Sundays an hour and a half early, and I walk through these doors, and even though I'm the only one here, I just pray, and I said, well, I need to share some of the things I'm playing by myself, but even though God is here, I want to share with you. And on that note, keep my dad in your prayers. Yes. He's still having a hard time, and I'm trying to encourage him the best that I can. And, you know, I just told him the other day, Dad, you know, Jesus loves you. There's so much hope. And even though things look kind of dark and gloomy at times, I'm so encouraged with everything. I mean, I'm just so encouraged. I'm so encouraged through it all. Amen. And so I'm going to try to get this. Thank you.
Amen. Let's get the announcements out of the way. Sunday, November 19th, we're going to have a Thanksgiving dinner after service. Amen. And then Pastor Moore and Brother Jeremiah are going to be visiting San Diego December 1st through 4th. And then after that will be New Year's services, December 31st. Dinner will be at 6, and then service will start at 8. So let's sing page 117, Feeling So Much Better, in the choruses, key of G. And then we'll get Pastor Moore up.
Feeling so much better, talking about this good old I'm feeling so much better, talking about the Lord. So let's go on, let's go on, talking about this good old man. Let's go on.
Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. Oh, it's always good to talk to you along the way. Lord, as the disciples said, didn't our hearts burn within us as we talk with you along the way? And we want to be able to say the same thing this morning. We thank you for this opportunity to be in your house, to be gathered with your people, to be able to break the bread of life that, Lord, we all may be nourished from it this morning. Father, sometimes you look at the scripture and it's so big. There's so much. But God, we pray that you come and break off a little bit of that bread for us this morning. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us the word of the hour, the word that we need to press forward, knowing how close of an hour we're at. And Father, we pray that you'll just shake everything loose, all of our traditions, all of our ideals, all the things that we think it is, that Lord Jesus, we can pick up your mind and fulfill your word as you had spoken already. Now let it manifest. Ask you to touch those that are sick this morning, not feeling well, maybe out of the house of God this morning with illness. Lord, ask you to send forth your word to touch their bodies. Lord, those who are just with a desire, a lack of desire to come to the house, Lord, we ask you to shake them, Father, that, Lord, they too might have a desire to come to the house of God. For truly, this is where we get our strength. This is where we get our answers. This is where we get our directions. Lord, you said where two or three are gathered, that you'd be in the midst. Lord, I know you're here today. I can hear you. I can see you. And Father, I pray that you'll help us to just look to you for everything that we need. You know every heart in this building this morning. You know every question in our mind. You know everything that we have a desire to have answered. Thank you for touching Brother Tommy's son. Lord, that's been a prayer that's been before us. And Lord, we're so grateful that he's come back with a good bill of health. Lord, we know that you're a healer. We don't deny that. And Lord, we just want to take a moment to thank you. When you do these things, to thank you. We don't want to be like the Lord lepers who you healed and they didn't even come back to just say thank you. Only one of them came back to say thank you. Lord, I want to be that one. We want to thank you for your healing, knowing that, Lord, it's a minor thing in your eyes, Lord. The healing is a minor gift that you give to the body to help us out. But, Lord, the greatest gift that you've given us a revelation, an understanding to your word. And we want to, Lord, just open this book this morning. Open our hearts so that we can receive that you have for us today. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Amen. When you miss one service, you miss a lot. Amen. And even that much more. That's why he told us. He said, gather yourselves together. And even that much more as you see the end approaching. You know why he wants you to come more? Because he's got more to tell you. He's got things to show you. He's got things to reveal to you. And I don't sit here and tell you I know it all. I don't. I'd be the first to tell you I don't know it all. I can only share with you my knowledge of the mystery. But as he shows me more, I'll show you more. That's the way that works. That's why we have the fivefold ministry, is that as we learn, you learn. And as we take a step, you take a step. And as we move forward, you move forward. So, you know, just hang in there and keep coming to the house of God. And somewhere along the line, there will be a body change for the believers. We will have a body change. Because you say, how do you know? It's in the Word of God. That's Thessalonians 4. You know, so we're grateful. We're grateful that you that have come out. I know, I think that must be our brother that I talked to the other day. Yesterday, he said he was going to come out. I said, come on and come and see. He's in the neighborhood. I said, come on. He knows Brother John. And he said he wanted to come and visit. And I said, we're always welcome. We don't have nothing to join. Ain't nobody in here is joining this church. You must be born, as Brother Lockett always reminds us. You must be born again. That's the way to get into God's family, is you got to be born into his family. So putting a chair out won't do nothing for you. And so we don't have nothing to join. You don't have to come by letter. You know how they say, come by Christian experience, come by letter. We don't have no letters to pass around. You just come as long as you want to come, be here as long as you want to be here. And if it ain't for you, then don't even worry about staying. I'm only wanting to share with people who want to receive this. It's a different hour to where people are. We're not trying to get numbers. As you can see, we're not trying to get numbers. We're going the wrong direction for that. We have more people leaving than coming. But that's okay, because, you know, the straight is the gate. And narrow is the way. And few. That if there's ever been a time that scripture is real, this day, this scripture is fulfilled. Because there's not very many that will be able to receive the word of God in the hour we're living in. And I was thinking this morning, you're finding out who the true Israelis are. Because I was thinking about when I was getting ready for service today, I thought, you know, the real true Israelis, they're leaving all parts of the world going home. Remember, like I said, the 144,000's got to be over in their homeland. Yes. God will only deal with them in their homeland. So, you know, this catastrophe that's happened that seems to be bad, it is for good. God will take a bad thing and turn it and make it. He says all things, you know, work together for good. And God's always used catastrophe to drive his people. If you think about it from the very, he drove Adam and Eve out of the garden. Yeah, he did. He drove the children of Israel out of Egypt. Right. Into the homeland. Right. And it wasn't that God just said, you're going to go back to your homeland. He put Pharaoh in place. Right. And hardened his heart. Right. Now you would, if you think about it, you think, well, why would God harden a man's heart? It seemed like he would just, he needed his heart to be hardened so he could put the pressure on the children of Israel to get them out of Egypt. So God uses pressure. He used pressure in the time of Jesus Christ. It took pressure for Jesus to go to the cross. When he went to the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, Lord, not my will. He said, I don't want to do this. See, he didn't want to do it. You don't. We don't serve God altogether because we just want to. We serve God because we have to. We serve God because we have nothing else in us but to serve God. And when Jesus was standing there, he says, Lord, I don't want to do this. I don't want to die. But God put so much pressure on Jesus that there was so much pressure that he was bleeding drops of blood, sweating drops of blood. But then he turned around and said, Lord, not my will, but thine. All the disciples, pressure. Every church age, pressure. It's always been God putting pressure on his people to cause them to do what he wants them to do. If you get into a place where you start testifying and trying to say something for God, you may as well look for pressure. Because you're not going to be able to get up and testify and nothing happens to you. See, that's why people don't want to testify. Because once you say it, then you got to live by it. When you say it, the pressure comes. And when the pressure comes, then you got to figure out, you got to stand up and be identified.
Right. That's right.
See, the pressure causes you to be identified. Yeah. What causes a rose to smell like it does? Pressure. Squeeze it. Crush it. Yes. Put it under a little bit of pressure, and you'll find out what's in it. Put man under a little bit of pressure, and you'll find out what's in it. When you start taking a stand for God, let me just warn you, all you young people who testified last Sunday night, remember y'all were talking Sunday night about rebooting and taking a stand and not worrying about the world. That's all true. That's all good. You need to do that. But beware. The pressure and the test will follow. Because what it's going to do is going to make you prove who you say you are. So that's what God's always done. That's how God has always moved, and that's how he's going to do us at the end time. It's going to take pressure. See, you know what? You're under pressure right now. Right. You really are. You feel like this is normal, but this is not normal. This pressure, this load of the world that's on us, that bogs us down every day. You know, this having to go to work, having to provide for your family, having to do these things. You have to do those things. And the world is in such a condition now, people don't want to work. And those who do work, they have so much thrown on them that it puts more pressure on them. And you go to a restaurant and you got, I think somebody said they had one waiter and one cook. Somebody told me just that the other day. That there's nobody wants to work. So what it does is it puts more pressure on everybody else. And then your job becomes hard and your walk becomes harder because you as a Christian have to do a good job. Right. It's like Brother James said. He said he was cleaning something and doing something. James Bond said, I was going to just let that sit. And then the little voice spoke in my ear and said, if you see it, it's yours. Yeah. So see, that's the inward teacher. And then he reacted because of what the inward teacher told him. So it's going to make us do the right things when everybody else wants to slack off. We're going to do 100% because we're going to do it as unto the Lord. Amen. We're going to live our lives unto the Lord. We're going to work as unto the Lord. So it's in the hour that we're living in, it's getting harder and harder to find good workers, harder to find harder to find a good man, harder to find a good Christian. It's getting so scarce that it's getting rare. But that's okay. That's the hour. We need that. This, you know, this is an hour where if Satan is in his fullness, God is in his fullness. If Satan's trying to tear down, God's trying to build up. And you know who's going to win. He always wins. It's not even a good contest. But, you know, it's good. It's good to be here. I got a subject I want to talk on. And I know, I said, Lord, there's just no way. So I don't know. I'll probably skip a lot, jump down. I won't read and quote and all that. Read and quote. I won't do all that. I'll just sort of push through because it's got. I'll just preach it because I got 17 pages of notes, and I get nervous at 8 and 9. So I'm like, this is not going to happen today. So I said, Lord, you're going to have to help me. So I want to start over here. And I want to read in the book of Matthew's chapter 13. And I know I'm opening a big can of worms here because there's so much in all of this. All my elders are going to want a piece of this. All my ministers are going to want a piece of this. And that's all right. My brother's going to want it. It's all right. So Matthew chapter 13, we want to jump down. And I love all these parables in Matthew 13, but I want to just read one of them. Go jump down to verse 24. And another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares amongst the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up, and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So that the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, did thou not sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? And he said unto him, The enemy hath done this. The servants said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, lest while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. Let them both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them. But gather the wheat into my barn. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. And I want to title this message this morning, Ripening in the Sun. Ripening in the Sun. And I got this from Wednesday night, and the brothers were talking, and Brother Deskins was talking about ripening. And I thought about it, and I said, Lord, you know what? We need to talk about that some, because we don't understand ripening. We really don't. When something is ripe, it's no longer growing. And there's nothing to add to it. There's nothing more that needs to be put on. Say a tomato. After a tomato reaches a certain size and you pull that tomato off the vine, it doesn't even need to be on the vine to ripen. No. It's the S-U-N that ripens it. And so is it with us. When you get a church, and we've had a church for 2,000 years, but people don't know what the seventh church age is doing. This was building, this was growing, this was creating a body, but it wasn't right. And as long as you continue to grow, as long as you continue to add on to the body, you are not in a ripening season.
Amen.
Steve is not here today because he's out. Oh, there you are. You came late. Why did you come late? Because you were harvesting. And he had to harvest. I thought he wasn't even here. He had to harvest, but all summer long, Steve eyeballed that wheat.
Amen.
He eyeballed that grain. He eyeballed it and kept an eye on it because there's only a specific time period that you can take it from the stalk. And it's called a ripening time. I've worked with Steve before, and I know that if you pull the corn off too soon and you put it in the barn and it's too wet, it'll spoil. And it make toxic gas, could start an explosion, could start many things. Many things can happen. See, we got farmers here. We know. Yeah, I ain't lying to y'all. And so you must leave the fruit on the plant and let it ripen. People don't pay attention to the ripening season, but that's just as important as the growing season. Because the growing season without the ripening season is no good. But the ripening season without the growing season is no good. We've come through seven church ages. We've come through seven messengers. We've come through all this growing, adding to, putting on, putting on, putting on. There came a point that we had to stop growing.
Amen.
Now, the thing I want to bring out here in Matthew 13 is that the whole time that the wheat was growing, the tares was right there with them. People don't understand what all this is going on with the churches and church world. They don't understand. They think everybody who says they're churchy or church world, or they think they're all Christians. They're not. To be a Christian is to be Christ-like. To be Christ-like is to be His Word-like. So you could go to church. You can be in a building. You can do a lot of things, a lot of good things, and still not even be in the right place. Now, and when the sower went forth to sow, now you got to understand, God only sowed the good seed. He is that farmer. He is the man who had, all God held was good seed. That's all He was interested in was good seed. That's all He ever wanted was good seed. So when He put His plan together, when He put us, do you realize your body has been here since the beginning of time? You're part of the earth. From dust thou art and dust thou shalt return. You are always part of God's eternal plan if you're the predestinated seed of God. All God ever wanted was you. Although He had a greater plan, He had a great plan in His mind. In order for Him to fulfill all the attributes that was in Him, see why I said I'm not going to get nowhere today? God had attributes in Him that He wanted to express.
Amen.
Just like you had attributes in you before you was a father. When you was a little boy, you had an attribute of a father in you. But you didn't manifest that attribute as a little boy. You couldn't manifest that attribute as a little boy. There's things that you had to grow. Before you can produce, you have to grow. A young girl has to grow before she can produce. So God had things in Him, attributes in Him, things that He wanted. God had an attribute of being a father.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
God had an attribute of being a savior. God had an attribute of being a redeemer. God had an attribute of being healing. Tommy is a recipient of one of God's attributes. God is a healer. God healed his son. But God wanted to be a healer. God wanted to be a father. God wanted to be a savior. God wanted to be a kinsman. All of these attributes that were wound up in God. And he even had an attribute in him, don't let me scare you, to be God. Before God was even God, it was already in him. It was an attribute to be a God in him. You say, well, wait a minute, he was always God. God wasn't always God. What? God is an object of worship. In order for you to be a God, you have to have somebody to worship you. So until he created angels, he wasn't even God. He was what we call, he was Elohim. He was the self-existing one. He was like, he was Melchizedek. He was not having a father, not having a mother, not having a beginning of day, not having an end of life. That was Elohim, self-existing one. Before there was one angel, he was not even God. But in him was an attribute to be God. Amen. So created the angels. Then he became God. He wanted to be a savior.
Amen.
So when he put Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, God knowing all things, all sufficient, all knowing, he already declared the end from the beginning. This is his story. So when he put Adam and Eve in a garden, it wasn't by chance that they fell. God knew they would. God didn't make them fall, but he knew they would. He knew the very nature that they had would cause them to do that. So when man fell, God had an attribute of him to be a redeemer. A savior. You couldn't even be healed until he took the stripes. See, all these things that were in God started to roll out. But another thing that rolled out, remember, Eve came out of Adam. The bride came out of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It took three elements to give a birth. Water, blood, and life. It took three elements to get our life out of Christ. And look what happened when they pierced the side. What came out? Water. Then blood. Then he gave up the life. And no, say three things of what it takes to get back in it. That's why the water is important. That's why even in water baptism, you know, it's an outward sign of an inward work. That doesn't save you. The real water is the water of the washing of the Word. It takes the Word of God, the blood of Jesus Christ, and the Holy Ghost to get you back into Him, where we come from in the first place. That's what, see, people don't even know why these things exist. It took three out and three in, Brother Lockett. But it was all God expressing himself. So you think you do these things that you're doing because you're deciding. No, you are an expressed image of Jesus Christ. If you are the Word of God. So when he went for sowing, oh Lord. When he went for sowing, he sowed only his seed.
Amen. Come on.
That's why God's only responsible for his own. You're only responsible for your own children. God's only responsible for us. He's not responsible for the whole world. Oh, they take the scripture to John 3:16, for God so loved the world. They misinterpret that. They think God loved all the world. God doesn't love all the world. God only loves his own. He's only responsible for his own. He's only coming for his own. That's the way that works. You go to daycare center only get your kid. You buy clothes for your kids. You feed your kids. Oh, you might give your kids friends a sandwich if they're at the house, but you're not responsible for it. That's out of kindness of your heart.
Right.
But when God set forth, he was expecting to only have his seed.
Yeah. Right.
But there, that fall in the garden wasn't just a fall. That fall in the garden was the enemy. He was sowing his seed. The enemy came in, and it was him that put all this together. It was his fault that all of this sin and all of this problems came to earth. That was the world falling apart right there. We weren't even supposed to come here by sex. We were supposed to come here like Jesus came, by the spoken word. All of God's children come by the spoken word. All of God's children come by the spoken word. That's why Jesus said in Matthew, talking to Nicodemus, you must be born again. That's why Brother Lockett always tells us from the back, you must be born again, because you got to be born again to be in the family of Christ. You got to be born by the spoken word, not by blood. Flesh and blood can't even enter into the kingdom. So if you're a child of God, it's not because of your mom and your daddy. It's not because of your church affiliation. It's not because of where you go to school, where you go to church, and how nice you are and what you bring. You come to God because you are part of him. And he actually has a predestinated seed in you, and he come looking for you. You don't look for God. God looks for you. You don't seek God. God seeks you.
Amen.
And so what did Satan do in the garden? He put his poisonous seed in there. The first sin that ever happened was sex. And what it did was it caused us all to fall into that same category of unbelief. You and I and everybody who is ever born out of a womb of a woman come here the wrong way. My Bible tells me we were born in sin, shaped in iniquity. Come here speaking life. I don't have to teach you how to be a sinner. It's automatically in you. You steal the cookie because it's just in you. You lie because it's in you. You do the things you do in the world because it's just in you. But when Jesus Christ moves in there, he changes you, and then there's a war going on. But when Satan sowed that seed, he caused us all to come here the wrong way. We were come here by sex. We were supposed to come by the spoken word. And everybody that was born. That's why Eve is the mother of all living. Every person that was born come out of there the wrong way. Cain, Abel, wrong way. We were supposed to have been spoken into existence. And Cain was so much like his father that he killed his brother. It's been that way ever since. This battle's been going on for all 6,000 years. And it's never going to get better. It's never going to change. We're never going to solve it. We're never going to get the solutions that everybody's trying to get to. Because this world's spinning its way out of control. But it's also doing exactly what God said it was going to do. It's not catching God by surprise. God was not caught off guard in the Garden of Eden. God was not caught by surprise when man had sex. And you know what? God, he plumbed us to be able to do that because he had attributes in himself that he wanted to express.
Amen.
Oh, he could have made us like the angels. And even when he made the angels, he made a third of them a little bit off. See, God can't make you fall. He wouldn't be a just God if he did. But he knows you. He knows if you're a believer or not. He knows if you believe his word or not. He knows all those things. Matthew chapter 5. Those two seeds were planted. He planted the wheat, and then his enemy, Satan, planted the tares. God's not responsible for tares. Steve's not responsible for tares. You know, when Steve goes out there with that combine, he ain't trying to drive around the tares to make sure they're okay. He runs right over them and don't even look back. He don't care about them. He's only after the seed. God is only after the seed. But Matthew chapter 5, verse 43. You have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despisefully use you and persecute you. We can't get there. And you know why we can't get there? It's because we don't realize that they can't help themselves. They really can't help to do you wrong. They can't help to do you like they do you. And we actually think, why, they should do better. Why, I could just, no. Love them. Love you. Because you know what? They're only here for a short space of time. You're eternal. They're not. This is the best they're going to ever get it. When they steal from you, that's the best they're going to get. We're going to be walking on the streets of gold. They're trying to steal a little pocket change. But here we said, he said for us to love our enemies. Bless them that curse you. Oh, this is hard for us. I'm talking about us. We all want to say we're Christians, but then if we're asked to do that, it was like, well, I just know. But here's verse 45 is where I'm trying to get to. That ye may be the children of your Father, which is in heaven. For he maketh the sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sendeth the rain on the just and the unjust. People can get anointed. Do you realize people can get anointed? They can heal the sick. They can pray for the sick. They can have church. They can be preachers. They can do all kinds of things. They can do all manner of things that look good. They can get the same anointing on them that you get on yourself. Same anointing. In Steve's field, when it rains, it doesn't just rain on his corn. It rains on everything. So when God pours his spirit out on all men, he does it on all men. But that's where people get mixed up, because they think because there's an anointing there, or there's a gift there, or there's a prophecy there, they think that's automatically God blessing it. That's not being born again. That's just the same anointing of the same Holy Ghost that pours out on all flesh. And men don't understand that there's a difference there. They say if they're anointed, they're anointed. Then if they're anointed, it's got to be of God. But that's not so. Because in Matthew 25, he said, didn't we prophesy in your name? I'm telling you, real prophecies. Didn't we preach in your name? Didn't we do all these things in your name? What did he tell them? He said, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. They were tares the whole time. Wow. I never knew you.
Amen. Wow.
So this church has been growing side by side with the tares the whole way. And people have not understood why and how it's doing this, because they look good. Jeremiah's in Germany right now, and he sent me some pictures this morning of some churches over there. Beautiful churches, beautiful synagogue. This makes this place look like a tool shed. Beautiful places. But all these big old places, they don't even have people. People have lost a love for God.
Right.
They don't even want to go to church anymore. And that's coming this way, just like everything else. Do you know everything runs from east to west?
Amen.
Right. The gospel comes from east to west. The sun comes from east to west.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. Wow.
They're over there right now. Beautiful churches, just museums. That's headed this way. That's why you can't hardly get people to church. That's why people don't want to serve God. These museums that they have over there are going to be over here before it's done. These big cathedrals that you see and all these big churches that you got out there, people don't go to church no more. And God help us with the internet. They got the internet and it's a wrap. It's like, you don't know when I'm coming, and you don't know when I'm there, and you don't know when I'm leaving. And I don't want to have to come every week, so I'll come when I feel like coming. And they think coming over the internet is going to church. But that's not. That's enough to get you by. But you still need to gather, because he said gather yourselves together. He said, well, that hurt my feelings. I'm sorry. I'm just telling you what he said. I'm just a mailman. Don't get the mailman. Don't, you know, when your light bill's due. And I put your bill in your mailbox. Don't come out and sick the dog on me. It ain't my fault you didn't pay your bill. I'm just telling you what God's word says. And if you don't like what God's word says, that's between you and God. See, I don't have to make you like it. All I got to do is tell you the truth. It's between you and God what you do with it. So he makes the rain fall on everybody. The same anointing that's in the Baptist church is the same anointing that's in the Pentecostal church, is the same anointing that's in our church. You know, I've been to a service, me and Sister Alice, this is years ago. We went to a church service years ago. It was a charismatic movement, and it was a church service given by the Catholics, and they were speaking in tongues. You say, well, wait a minute, they don't even believe that. Don't have to. The same anointing was falling on them. And the same anointing falls on every denomination. And that's why it's so confusing, because you go into church, you feel the Spirit of God, you feel God's moving, and you're thinking, my Lord, this is it. Then you go to another church, and you get in there, and you hear the choir, and you feel the Spirit and the movement, and you're like, oh my good, this is it. Oh, yeah. Same anointing. The rain is falling on all men.
Amen.
But see, you got to know how to find where God is. God is not known by the choirs, not known by the stained glass, not known by the numbers. God's never been in numbers. God always had the defeated few. Matter of fact, when Gideon tried to put a big number together, God said, that's too much. I can't get the glory. Cut it down. People think because they got a lot of numbers, I had a minister tell me one time, I said, Nate, don't you think if God was going to make a move like you're telling me at the end time, that God would tell all the denominations? I said, never has. Never has. God's always moved and the church never knew about it. When Noah got in his ark, where was the church leaders? Oh, they served God. They believed God. Because, you know, they were taught from Adam on down. So they believed in God. They believed in the same God Noah did. But they just didn't believe in the I am present tense. And then when Noah got in that boat, where were the high priest? Where were the church folks? They were gone. They're out there talking about him. They're out there saying, that man's crazy. Time of Jesus. He come in a manger. Majority of the people didn't even know he was coming. The few that even was expecting him, The wise men, they found him. But where were the church people?
Think about it.
Where were the high priest? They're all in the big temple, singing the Psalms, singing the Isaiah, singing the songs of the Bible. And here he was laying right in front of them. And they couldn't pick him up. John the Baptist, come on the scene. Where was the high priest? Missed him. That's what Jesus said. You don't want to believe me? Believe what red letter says. John came, and you did what you listed. Whatever you wanted to do, you did it. Didn't even know it was him. He's come and gone. Jesus came and the church crucified him. Down through the ages, all the way down through the ages, I was always taught Luther was not going to heaven. I come from an apostolic background. If you don't know, I'm the apostolic background. Tongue speaking, signs and wonders, good living, all that. But then I was always taught Luther wasn't going because he was a smoking, drinking, cussing priest. That's what I was taught. Come to find out, he had a whole age behind him. Because he stood on the word of God. He stood up and said, the just shall live by faith. Now he had 99.9% of everything else wrong. But he's part of the body. But in the middle of that, the tares were there. When Roman Catholics start the first denomination in 325 AD, Nicaea, boom. Those tares were right there. Paul said it. He said, even before I get out of here, grievous wolves are coming in. Those tares were right there even when Paul was there. But it was growing. They were running side by side with the word. They were going right with the wheat. As the wheat, you know, in the field there with Steve's corn, that wheat and that tare are growing neck and neck. They're trying their best. Steve's trying to beat them. See, his goal is beat the tares down enough to let the wheat get taller. So that by the time the tares start growing up, it won't affect the wheat.
Right.
If a man would do that, how much more would God do it? God always kept the bride ahead of the world.
Yes.
The whole time he's building the church, because we had a whole building that God was putting together. And remember, that was growing time. This is all I'm going to get to today. This is growing time down through the ages. The whole time God was growing a church. It wasn't ripe, but it was growing. When Steve put that corn out there, first thing to come up, those two blades in the spring of the year. Steve, don't stop worrying, because that's just the beginning of it. He's got to have rain. He's got to have sunshine. He's got to have he can't have too much sun, but he need enough. He can't have too much rain, but he need enough. And he's got to worry about it all summer long. I heard Steve ask to say nothing about rain lately. I don't think he's worried about it now. Not now. He don't want it now. He wants that field dry so he can get out there and he can get the harvest in. And see, the same way it is with God doing down through the ages. The whole time God was building a bride body, it was growing, it was growing, it was growing. And we were learning, we were picking up, we were doing, we were just, oh my goodness, God was building a body. Revelation chapter 2 and 3. I can go over there and read it. I'm trying to save you some time. That's seven church ages. That was God building his body. Amen. But during that time, there was no ripening. Amen. Oh, they ripe for their age. But it wasn't ripening of the entire body. And we need this whole body up. Because the body's not going to come up in points and pieces.
Hello.
Your body doesn't get up in points and pieces and parts. When your body gets up in the morning, the whole body gets up. We're talking about a rapture, the whole body's got to get up. We're talking about a resurrection, the whole body's got to get up. So the whole time God was building that body, he was letting it lay there. Nobody knew what was going on. He kept it hid. He didn't let nobody know what he was doing, but the whole time he was building the body. All the whole time that tomato was getting bigger and bigger. I know when I watched the garden we had in our yard, started out with the plant. You put the plant in, it's growing. Then after a while, you see yellow buds.
Yeah.
And you said, there's going to be a tomato there.
Yeah.
Potentially, that's a tomato. Potentially, that's a ripe tomato that John, you can eat.
Amen.
But at the time, you don't want to eat that.
No.
It ain't ready.
No.
It wouldn't taste right. It wouldn't even do you any good. But then it grows and it grows. And next thing you know, it's got a tomato that looks like a tomato, but it's a little bitty thing. Not much light in it at all. Not, you can tell it's a tomato, but it's not ready yet. And it has to grow. And it's growing down through the ages. This church was growing the whole time. But it wasn't mature. It wasn't ripe. But then that tomato, at some point, it changes from a growth to a ripening.
Amen.
When it starts ripening, I can look out my bedroom window and see the redness of it.
Yes, sir. Yes.
I can tell you from afar off that that tomato's ready to be picked.
Yeah.
And as we went down through the seven church ages, we went age after age after age, and we grew and we grew and we grew, but it wasn't the fullness of time.
Right.
You don't pick your tomato till it's the fullest of time. You don't pull the corn until it's the fullest of time. You don't take the body, the church, out of here until it's the fullest of time. It takes a fullness to bring about the rapture. And the church has been growing and growing and growing and growing and growing, just like Jesus said. He said, unless a corn of wheat goes in the ground, it abides alone. It had to go in because we had to do just like Jesus did. He was the first fruit. He was the first corn of wheat. And when he got finished growing and brought it to maturity, the growth and maturity was just like the original. Do you realize when you're dealing with a full seed? Now, I'm not talking about hybrid. When you're dealing with a full seed of God, the end is just like the beginning. The omega is just like the alpha. When they put that corn and wheat, when I helped Steve to plant corn, and we look at that corn, it's a kernel. It looks just like a dried piece of corn that he's going to have when it finishes. When Jesus was here, he said, unless the corn and wheat goes in the ground, it abides alone. And he was talking about him, and he's talking about his bride. And when he went in the ground and come back, he come back on a day of Pentecost with 120 ears of corn, pieces of corn, look just like him, look just like him, talk just like him, walk just like him. They started a church off of those ears, off of those corn kernels. And not only that, but the church was built, and that church had to go in the ground. Because there had to be a body of believers for all ages. See, we're not just talking about one denominational group. We're talking about every group. We're talking about every age. As the time went through, as the word went through, like I said, the sun goes from the east to the west. The word of God, if you follow this, you can see where the sun went from east to the west. And let me tell you something else about harvest time. At harvest time, the sun is much harder than it is in the spring of the year. I mean, the Bible tells us nature itself testifies of these things. God's own nature testifies of this. You don't have the same sun in the spring as you do at the harvest time. Because if you did, you'd burn up your plant. You don't need a hot sun. You need a sun that's going to be gentle enough to where those little frail pieces, a church that's just starting, can grow. And then as the summer builds on, so does the heat. We move from spring to get to summer. And then the summer, it gets hot. And when it gets hot, all the drought, all the moisture, all of everything that's not right gets dried out of you. And you look at the end just like you were in the beginning. So the church, the church world, as it's been built, it's come back to the grain again. Back to the original. He said, I'm Alpha and Omega. He didn't say nothing about in between. He's Alpha and Omega. He's got that very life look. He looked just like we look. Right. Now you should be able to see Jesus Christ as he is. Right. Or even as he was. You say, well, what was Jesus? Jesus was a man who knew who he was. Jesus was a man who knew why he was here. Yeah. Jesus was a man who knew he held in himself the words of eternal life. Yeah. Jesus was a man who knew how to stop things and start things, how to heal the sick, raise the dead. That's the Jesus that was here 2,000 years ago. That should be the Jesus at harvest time. Amen. He said at the time of the Son of Man, he said, you're going to long for one of the days of the Son of Man. It's only been 2 days for the Son of Man. Jesus being the Son of Man, and at the end time, he's coming back as the Son of Man, because the Son of Man is the fullness of the Word of God made flesh. But in the hour that we're living in now, we got to ripen a little bit. Oh, we've had everything. The Word's been restored. The Word's back. We know the Bible. We know what it is. We got the word. We know what it is. But now we have to lay in the presence of the sun, just like that tomato. Got to lay in this thing. Got to continue. That's why you can't just hit and come to church when you want and come like you want and do what you want. You got to be a part of this thing. You got to get in here and lay in the presence of the Son, yes, knowing that that's the only thing that's going to ripen you is the Word of God.
Amen.
You'll only be as strong as the words you receive.
Yes.
And when I see you being weak, I know you're not receiving the Word.
Amen.
When you're wishy-washy back and forth and can't trust you, you're not be receiving the Word of God. Because this, an hour we're living in, we should be just as strong as Jesus was.
Amen.
You said, well, Jesus was God.
Amen.
You should be God.
Amen.
We're back to the grain again.
That's right.
See, down through the ages, there were God, but they didn't know it. They didn't look like it. Luther didn't look like God. He didn't look like Jesus. Wesley looked more like it.
Right.
Boy, wasn't quite there.
Right.
Pentecostals looked a lot like it.
Yeah.
Restoration of the gift.
Right.
Yeah. But then we needed a restoration of the Word.
Yeah.
And the restoration of the Word puts the Word of God in you.
Amen.
The Word of God in you.
Amen.
And when that full seed Word gets into you, what are you?
Yeah.
At the new birth.
Amen.
You become the full seed Word of God.
Amen.
And just like Jesus walked the earth, so do you.
Amen.
What he said, whatever he bound, you can bind. Whatever he loosed, you can loose. The power that God has given to the church is now in his bride. And that's why in Revelation, and I'm going to wrap this up because I didn't going to get there. That's why in a book of Revelations, it ain't Jesus doing the work. Because we're not dealing with Alpha anymore. We're dealing with Omega. And Alpha was Jesus. Omega's the bride. But we walk around here dumb, thinking that we got to wait on Jesus to do something. Jesus is waiting on you.
Amen. Oh, my goodness.
He puts the Word in you so that you and the Word becomes one, and then whatever you say, whatever you bind, whatever you loose. But you can only do that at ripening time. See, when you're not ripe, you don't know who you are. You don't know whether you're a red tomato or orange tomato or what. But sit in the presence of the Son for a little while. Let God ripen in you, and then you'll find your position.
Amen.
You'll be positionally placed right where you need to be, so that wherever you place your foot, God's there.
Amen.
God's there. God's binding. God's listening. The church world is scared of this. They're like, "Oh, you can't say that you're God. You can't say that you know why Jesus got in trouble? Jesus got in trouble because he told them who they were."
Yeah.
And then he got in trouble because he told him who he was.
Right.
He said, "You are your father the devil." And he said, "I and my father are one."
Right.
When you see me, you see the Father.
Right.
The church world's going to be mad at us because we do two things. I know who they are, and I know who I am. And we'll be in trouble just like Jesus was. I'm telling you, we're at the grain time. We have laid in the presence. The Son has ripened us. This bride is now on her feet. She knows what to do with the Word. She's not backwards about it now. Did you see what happened this morning? And Brother Tommy has been praying for his son from before he was born. And the doctor said he's going to have all these problems. And Isaiah sent a prayer cloth to Tommy. And it kept it the whole time. And God answered the prayer, healed him. But we spent about 2 minutes on that this morning. Thank God for healing. But that's not, that's expected. Yes, he's going to be 100. Yes, God, yes, the doctor's going to make, God's going to make the doctors testify it. We expect those things. But the thing is, that's a minor compared to the opening of the Word of God. And the Word of God is the most important thing that you can have open to you, because when you get the Word of God open, you know all things.
That's right.
Healing, you get healed and still die.
But if you ever get born again, you ever get a revelation, you shall never die. That's what Jesus told the woman at the well. Said, you give me water and you're going to thirst again. But I can give you water where you'll never thirst again. I can give you something this morning that you'll never thirst again. When the word of God's going forth, that right there will fix you up for eternity. And we're looking at the world's condition in such a way that we see that we're right at the end time. We're right at the last of it. Israel's coming from all walks of life, running to their homeland. That 144,000, they've got to be around somewhere.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. And God won't deal with them until he deals with us. And that place is getting into such a mess over there that he's going to have to deal with them. So I think our ripening time is just about up.
Yeah.
We wondered why we just sit here. We wonder why we just lay here. We wonder why God don't come and take us. We had to be right. We had to be right where we needed to be. Noah sat there even after the door of the ark was closed by God. Yeah. He sat there 7 days.
Amen. Yes, sir.
And we've been sitting here. A lot of people don't know what's going on, but we know what's going on. We're getting riper. And riper, I can hear it in your testimonies. I can hear it in the way you talk.
Yeah.
I can hear it in the young people.
Yeah, right.
I hear it in the old people.
Amen.
I hear it in the whole body.
Yes.
Oh, when I go somewhere, I bind and loose.
Yes.
Oh, when I do this, I do this, and I'm taking this one with me. Yes. This one gets to go. It's like you're doing what Jesus did.
Lord, yeah.
Yeah, because we got all the water out of us. We come back to that same grain that was here 2,000 years ago. We're at a place now that we're not trying to figure this out. I'm not trying to figure this out. I know what it is. Brother Brown said, when you got a group of people who knows what it is. And I was going to read to y'all the other Wednesday night. The last Sunday, I got so flustered with myself that I thought, I didn't even read it. Brother Brown said he didn't see one scripture preventing the rapture left to fulfill. We're at the time now, we're at the end of the ripening.
That's right. Amen.
We're not just trying to start. Now they're coming in like this. When they come in, it doesn't take 40 years, Don.
No.
You and I took 40 years, John.
Amen.
Ted. 40 years it took us to get where we got.
Amen. Right.
Now they walk in the door, it's like, of course I'm going.
Yeah.
Of course my loved one's going with me. Yeah. Of course I'm one of them. Of course I can't be lost. Of course I'm predestinated. Of course I'm eternal. Of course I'm God. I mean, it's like they're walking the door and I'm almost jealous. It's like it took me a long time to get there. But we're in the heat of it now. The sun is shining bright now. The corn is getting dry now. And it's harvest time now. The reapers are already here. It's on the scene. And we're ready to get out of here. And God's got a church now that knows what to do with the word. She knows what it is. She knows she's got to be born again. She knows how her part of the scripture. We're standing here now. And it's bright. And it's not going to be a lot. You say, well, shouldn't this be something that goes throughout the whole world? No, it's never been. Never been. But thank God that you have found what you found. Thank God that you can get answers. Sometimes you come here, you have questions, and don't know how to tie, and don't have God to come here and boom, 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 just lay the whole picture out. Lay the whole thing out in front of you. Like, of course.
There it is.
Of course it's got to be that way. But that's the hour we're living in. Nature itself to testify in this thing. We are at harvest time. We are at the end time. We are at the wrapping up. God's not nervous because he doesn't have nerves to be nervous with. But if he could be nervous, he would be. Because he's looking at the Gentile bride and he's looking at the Jews over there. And the whole world is turning against Israel. And Israel is looking bad. You can't even defend them. You can't. Because they got pictures that make you just like, man. Oh, Lord. So the whole world is turning on Israel. So in order for God to deal with Israel, he's got to do like Joseph did. Take his wife to the palace. Before he revealed himself to his brothers, he took his wife to the palace.
And before God reveals himself to the Jews, he'll have to take us to the palace. Because he doesn't deal with the Jews and the Gentiles at the same time. That's how close we are. That's how ripe we are. We are so ripe, ready for the picking. And he said he's going to send his reapers. And he says, okay, time's now. Time to reap. Time to get them in. The best time of the gardening is the reaping. That's what all that I've done was for this moment. And you know, God's looking at us and saying, all that I've done for the last 6,000 years is for this time right here. Out of all the times that you could choose to live in, what time would you choose to live in? I'd rather be at harvest time. I'd rather be ripening in the sun, the S-O-N, laying in his presence, receiving what he has for me. And when he sees it, he'll look at me and say, oh, that's red enough. That's red enough.
Yes.
I'm going to bring it home. I'm going to bring it home. And that's where we are, bride. That's where we are, church. We're ripening. And you wonder why we're here. We're ripening. But while you're here ripening, be about your Father's business. Make your stand. Testify. Don't back off your testimony. Double down on it.
Yeah.
You testify and the devil smacks you, double down on it. And says, you know what? I said this. I am more believing this today than I was last time I said it. Double down on it. Make yourself stronger. Some of them said, I want to do a reset. Double down on that. Don't back off and say, oh, I said it, but now I don't want the devil to bother me. No, don't. The devil can't do nothing to harm. He can't do nothing. He can't do nothing to you that God don't allow him. But God wants you to be ripe. He wants you to be ready. He wants you to be so ready. You know, it's not even hard to pick a tomato when it's really ripe. Matter of fact, if you don't get it soon enough, it'll just fall off the lid. I like to get it right when all you got to do is put your fingers on and just snap. This bride is so ready.
Amen.
We're so ready. We're so ripe that we're laying in the presence of the sun. We're getting riper and riper. The devil wants us to get out of here because we're getting too much for him to handle. He's like, they're no too much. They're saying too much. They're standing. I can't get them down. Take them home. Get them out of here so I can do damage. But that's all right. The bride don't care. If God takes me, I'm fine. If God leaves me, I'll be here and I'll be fine while I'm here. I'll praise him while I'm here. I'll worship him. I'll serve him while I'm here every day of my life.
Amen.
That's the bride.
Yes.
We're right.
Yeah.
We're right. We're in his presence. And even the new ones. You thought that you were new? You know more in the 1 year you've been here than a lot of people know in their entire life. That's because the word is shining down on you and you're taking it in. It's not, you know what, that tomato takes that sun in and becomes one with it, and all the vitamins and all the everything that it pulls in, you can never separate it again. It becomes one. It becomes one with the sun. And we've become one with the sun. God, help us to realize the hour we're living in. And help us to just push this thing, because it won't be long in anybody's clock. Everybody's watching here. It might be a little bit time different if you have a watch, if your phones are all the same. But if you have watches, the times might be a little different, but it won't be long on anybody's clock. The hour's so far spent. The day is so far spent. The sun is shining so bright down on us. And then it gives us a hope. And it gives us a promise that he's going to wrap this thing up. And he's going to take this home to the garner. God help us. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful this morning for your sun, the S-O-N, that's shining so bright in this day. Thank you for the word that you have given us in this hour and how it's blessed us in so many ways and give us answers when we had questions and solved problems and Give us direction. And Lord, as we lay here in the sun, all we're doing is coming here and enjoying the food, enjoying the word, enjoying what you're doing for us and showing us. And Father, as we lay here, we're getting riper and riper. And Lord, we know you're going to take us home because you've worked all this time for this fruit that you're seeing displayed in this hour. Thank you for it, Lord. I ask you to bless this congregation. Be with us and help us to press towards the mark. Keep us, Lord, strong, looking to you who are the author and the finisher of our faith. Thank you for touching, for healing. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for how you just walk these aisles and talk to us. Have your way with us, Lord. Thank you for everything. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Come on, musicians. Don't forget, we're going to have Bible study this evening at 7. And the Bible study has been interesting, to say the least. Go ahead, Steve. You should be up here preaching. You're the one who know. You know this message.
I don't
want
to do that, but it's really something, the message today, because, you know, I've got about 200 acres of corn out in the field yet to go. And I would normally be out there doing it. But, you know, for those of you who remember, this summer had all those smoky, hazy days. It's thrown corn harvest all off. The entire Midwest has got a bunch of corn that's too green to harvest right now. I tried to deliver a load yesterday at the elevator and said, we're full up. We can't dry it fast enough.
Right.
So, but you know, that's just natural's natural.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just glad, you know, I'm in a church where I don't have smoke and mirrors in my way.
Amen.
I'm under the sun. I'm if I never get that corn harvest and we go home, that's right. Fine with me.
Amen. 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 Amen.
I'd like to double down on my testimony. I am the word of God for this hour, for this day. I see exactly 100% what you're talking about. I can't back up. He's done all this, and I'm here to manifest his word. I'm the living word of God in this hour, here doing the work of the Father, because now we're full ripe. I see that as plain as day. Despite anything that any faults of the flesh, he's told us all things. I know I'm three. I know what happened in the garden. My understanding's been opening. And that's all I'm praying is, Lord, anoint my understanding to see that those people are already here. It's not that he's doing it. It's done. It's a done deal. Just open my understanding, and I'm here to receive it. And I am thankful for this hour. Yes. Thankful for what I see. Thankful for what he's done. It's time. Can I sing a song real fast?
Yeah.
Just real quick.
Real fast.
It'll be quick.
Let the church say amen. Let the church
at all, but I just want to say something about the prophet. It's so few that are going to be raptured out. I heard the prophet this morning. Someone asked him and said, oh, it's just like them being in the ark. It's 8. And he said, you only got half of the story. He said, where Enoch, it's only 1. Hmm. So we're looking at 1 and 8 now.
Right.
So just to thank God that we're 1 of the 8, because see, there they were 8. That's not the bride.
Hmm.
The bride wasn't in.
Uh-uh.
No. Right. And I was like, oh my goodness, this is even a smaller group.
It's smaller than you thought.
Right. It's smaller than what I thought, because I was like, oh, 8, 8, 8. He said, no, you're looking at 1.
Mm-hmm.
The one was raptured.
Right.
So I just want to thank God, and I want to thank God to be part of that one.
Amen. Well, you know, he said 1 in a million came out of Egypt. 1 in a million. And that doesn't if that type is holds true, there's not going to be that many out of all the Christianity. It ain't that many. So God help us all. Don't forget, come back tonight at 7. Don't forget, coming up Wednesday, keep Jeremiah and Elise in your prayers as they travel. Pray for us as we travel. And they come from the east and west. Amen. That's what we've done. We've come from every walk of life. Baptist, Pentecostal, Methodist, Catholic, home. We come from everywhere. Amen. They come from the east and west. They come from the land of far. To feast with the king, to dine as his guest. How the... Is that... What key is that? F, maybe. That's saying, I feel like a sailor. They come from the east and west. They come from the land afar. To feast with the king, to dine as his guest. How blessed we pilgrims are, beholding his hallowed face. A glory. As gems in his crown to shine. Oh, since Jesus has set me free, I'm as happy as heart can be. No longer I bear the burdens of care. His yoke is so sweet to me. Oh, my soul is as black as night. Darkness has taken flight. Now I shout the victory, for Jesus has set me free. Oh yes, since Jesus has set me free.